Would you continue? Let's continue in a time of prayer as I begin this morning. God, I thank you this morning that we can come to you. Lord, we can rely on your truth. Your word is truth. And Lord, as we process truth this morning, I pray that you would speak clearly through me. God, I ask that you would give us encouragement this morning. Lord, we are people who go through a lot. We go through a lot as a community. And Lord, this morning, I just pray that as we talk about a man who went through a lot, that we would be encouraged to know that you walked with so many people, Lord, throughout Scripture, and you desire to walk with us as well. And so, God, I pray you would go before us this morning, and that we would leave this place encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. It is good to be with you. Yeah. So I'm going to be talking about the flood this morning, Noah and the flood. And so as I was thinking about this passage, one thing that came to mind was my current state as a seminarian. So I'm currently studying. I'm in seminary online. I don't know if you knew that. So I'm in my first semester, and I thank you for those of you that have been praying for me. I'm doing this fully online as well as pastoring at the same time. And so I'm thankful my wife has been patient with me. I'm thankful that I'm able to learn a lot and grow a lot. I'm currently studying apologetics and ethics and church history. So as a 30-year-old, it's been 8 years since I've been in college, and you'd be surprised what you can forget to do in 8 years. So learning how to write a thesis and to write a paper again that is fluid and makes sense, and getting graded on it, which makes me kind of nervous, but God's been gracious to me thus far. And so as I've been thinking about Noah and the flood, I've been thinking about my need for my wife to proofread my papers. Because I'll write a paper, I'll be honest with you, it's kind of embarrassing. I'll write a paper and I'll hand it to my wife, and immediately, first paragraph, I see 5 marks. And I think to myself, how did I miss that? How did I turn that period into a comma? It's obvious. And yet this morning we're going to be talking about Noah and the flood, and I think in a similar way, as silly as this sounds, we can read the story of Noah and the flood and we can kind of brush through it really fast, pick up maybe one or two details and move on to the next story. But there is such a great richness to Noah and the flood. There's so many things. We can't even pick them all out this morning. We're gonna leave at a decent time, so don't be nervous. But there's so much we could pick out of Noah and the flood. And so this morning, I just want to pull out a few things for you. Again, because this is a man who walked in a hard time. I mean, he was must have been very alone. He was dealing with a lot of struggle, adversity. And yet this is a man who walked faithfully with God, and a man that God took from a state of hard adversity all the way through a flood. Didn't forget Noah all the way to the other side. And so I'm going to read some excerpts from Noah. Again, we could read all 3 chapters, but I would encourage you, if you haven't already done so, before you came this morning, if you would take some time maybe this week, just process these chapters this morning that we're going to be reading and process them. Think through them, and don't take these stories for granted, because they are very rich for us. So I'm going to read, again, just a few different excerpts. So first, this is dangerous too. They gave me the remote, and I already messed up. There we go. So I'm going to read first, so Genesis 6, 5 through 22, so that most of chapter 6, starting in verse 5, and I'll read from the screen so that I don't get too far ahead myself. It reads, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, 'I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them.' But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. There we go. "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the inside of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on the earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you, two of every kind of bird and of every kind of animal and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Verse 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. And so I want to stop at that excerpt. Next thing that takes place, Noah, again, he does everything that God commanded. Noah brings the animals to him. Everyone goes into the ark. God keeps them safe. The flood begins. And now I want to get to the next section, verse 17. For 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth. And as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth. And the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the earth, on the face of the earth, was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The flood waters covered the earth for 150 days. Chapter 8, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The waters receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters had gone down. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat, and the waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. And so from there, we know that the waters, again, they receded. We know that Noah sent out a raven that floated around, and then we know that God sent out a dove. At first, the dove came back, sent out the dove. Dove came back with a olive, or came out with a branch. And then he sent out the dove again. And dove didn't come back. And eventually God calls Noah to come out with everyone, and he calls them to multiply, increase on the earth. So from this story, we get to actually chapter 9. This is where we get the rainbow, where God says, I'm going to make a promise with you that I'm never going to do this again. I'm never going to destroy all of life like this again. The next time he does this will be in the future. And that will be when he comes for us to judge. So we do not need to fear another flood. And so this is the story of Noah, and I think we could stop there. Again, we could move forward, but I want to dig a little deeper this morning to steal Steve's title for his community group. And so let's start off with verse 6 of chapter 6. verses 5 and 6. Again, I want to read this for you. Again, we're going to dig a little deeper this morning. And so take these words as truth, because it says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled." At first glance, when I read that, those verses, I get a little nervous, because I think, God, did you change your mind? Did you change your mind? Because I'm scared, because in my own heart, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I make mistakes. I live in a world of people that are broken. Apart from Jesus, there is no good. Jesus is the one who's restoring. The sense that we are made in God's image is the only reason why we're allowed to see goodness at all in our lives. So God is the one who has created goodness. Yet I get nervous when I read this passage and I think to myself, God, would you ever change your mind? And yet, as I read from the ESV, a different translation, the English Standard Version, verse 6 reads, again, if you have the ESV, you've already seen this in your Bible, but it reads, "And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart." And so I think it's important first that we recognize God never changes his mind. Even though God is looking at the situation as we're receiving this information, don't think that God is changing his mind. Because last week, we were studying Genesis 3, when sin entered the world through man. Yet we know in Genesis 3:15 that God already had a plan for salvation. God already had a plan for salvation in chapter 3. He was going to send someone through Eve, through Adam and Eve. He was going to send someone from their offspring who was going to crush the head of the snake, crush the head of the evil one. So God already had a plan. In this time, God had a plan. He's not changing his mind. But I think it's important that we recognize that sin grieves God. Sin is never cute. It's ugly. When we sin, it goes against, it's an affront to God. And so it should never be swept under the rug. So I think one of the first things we can gain from this story is the reality that in our own hearts, we have to recognize that when we are sinning, we're doing the very things that God brought the flood for. We're doing the very things that go against who God is. And God says, "I do not want you to sin." So this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus to be your Savior and Lord, I want to remind you and encourage you, implore you to come to Jesus. Sounds easy, but I want to encourage you, come to Jesus. Because our sin is an affront to God. It's an affront to who He is. And it is to be taken seriously. Do not just sweep your sin under the rug. Take it seriously. And if you've never put your trust in Jesus, thank God. We just went through the book of Ephesians. So it's another great place for you to go if you've never put your trust in Jesus. If you want to find out about the hope, Ephesians 2:8-9 says that it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And it's not of works, so that no one can boast. And the grace that we have, it's in Jesus. The grace that we have is in our risen Savior who died for us 2,000 years ago. Died on the cross, fully died. Rose from the dead, defeated sin and death. And all God asks is that we would fix our eyes on Jesus, we would trust in Him, knowing that He is our substitute. We'd say, "God, I'm a sinner, I'm not good enough, I can't earn my salvation, but I believe Jesus was perfect. I believe He took the place for me on the cross." And if we do that, if we turn our eyes to Jesus, if we turn from our sin, turn to Jesus and accept Him as our Savior, we can be forgiven of our sin. We can enter into relationship with the God of the universe. And so if you've never come to Jesus with your sin, if you've never come to God with your sin and entered into a relationship with Jesus, I would encourage you this morning, understand that our sin is serious. It's so serious that God had to wipe from the face of the earth sin. He had to restart because it was that bad. And so this morning, I would encourage you, please put your trust in Jesus. Recognize that your sin needs to be dealt with. And for those of us that have put our trust in Jesus, I would encourage us, if this morning you have a disconnect between yourself and God because of sin, if you're like, man, I am struggling this morning, I know that I put my trust in Jesus, but my life is not matching that reality, I would encourage you as well, do not sweep your sin under the rug. It is an affront to God. Take it to God. I'm so thankful for 1 John 1:9. So thankful for this verse. I apologize. I'm going to jump ahead here. I'm so thankful for this verse. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Key word in there, all. Everything. All unrighteousness. And he'll do it. You won't do it. He'll do it. I'm so thankful because I know in my heart I make mistakes. I know in my heart there are times when I need to ask, literally have to ask you for forgiveness. I really need to ask God for forgiveness too. But I'm so thankful. He desires to forgive us. So this morning, please, first point this morning, please, process your heart this morning. I encourage you. And if you're finding sin, please, deal with it this morning. This is not out of condemnation. This is because God wants to forgive you. Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe wants to forgive us this morning. And so, I want to jump ahead to the reality of Noah now. Because as we process who Noah was, I think we can also gain a great perspective in the reality of a man who was walking in a very sinful generation. And so verse 8 and 9 read, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Again, I want to read this one more time for you. Process this with me. Let's not take these words for granted. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. And so how does Noah find favor with God? How do we find favor with God? Noah knew who he was. I think this is amazing. I love this. I love chapter 9. Because I think this speaks into our generation as well. This isn't just about thousands of years ago. This is about us today. He was a righteous man. That is who he was. Who he was. It wasn't that Noah just acted righteously. These weren't just about his actions. This was about a man who had a heart that was acting righteous. And so this morning, if you put your trust in Jesus, we know that God has given us his Spirit. We know that he's given us life. And we know that he's transformed us. We just talked about this again in Ephesians. And so we know that he's transformed us if we put our trust in Jesus. He's brought us from death to life. We have a living, breathing relationship with God and a new living, breathing Spirit. And so he's given us that life and he's given us his own righteousness. He's become our righteousness, Scripture states. He's become our righteousness. And so when we're acting righteously, when we're doing the right things, it's actually out of a heart that's been transformed. And similarly for Noah, Noah was a righteous man. That's who he was. As I've been studying apologetics and ethics, it's amazing. It's amazing as I'm processing these things. There are some wise people that have gone before us who have processed how other people think of life, how they make decisions. And we definitely live amongst the people that are very relative. We call it either cultural relativism, individual relativism, we call it subjectivism. It's the idea that there isn't an absolute. That there isn't this foundation for making a right or wrong decision. There are other types of ways that people process things, but I think many of our friends process things this way. For our Catholic friends, who have not actually physically put their trust in Jesus, if they're just acting out of legalism, many of them, they're processing things out of a duty-based, I got to do the right thing, it's about my actions. And I think there are many actual Christians, not just Catholics, that can do the same thing. You know, we act out of the commands. It's about how do I act. But as Christians, we know that it's because of our heart transformation that we can act rightly. It's not about our actions, it's about our heart. And our heart is going to reveal, our actions are going to reveal what's going on inside of our heart. James says that it's out of the overflow of the mouth that the heart speaks. And so we can be thankful in this sense that we as Christians know that it's not about our actions, it's not just about doing the right thing. It's about being who God has created us to be, which is that I am a follower of Jesus. I've been regenerated. I'm a little Christ, alive. And if you put your trust in Jesus, you too are alive. So it's not about your actions necessarily. It's about your heart. And your heart will reveal, or your actions will reveal what is truly going on inside of your heart. I'm so thankful for that as someone who is a legalist and myself. Man, I gotta be honest with you. I love following the rules. My wife would make fun of me for this. She would totally make fun of me for this. Whenever I go into a line, I have to follow the corral kind of thing, if you know what I'm talking about. Like, I can't skip through. I have to, literally walk around. I can't go underneath. It bothers me. When I'm in a parking lot, I follow the arrow, even if no one is in the parking lot. And you know, my wife's like, stop it. Just drive through. I'm a legalist. Who I am. I just, I can't help it. But I'm thankful that my actions aren't what make me who I am. It's the heart that God has given me. And similarly for you, if you find yourself in a place where you're like, man, I cannot measure up to God, that is so good. That's so good because we cannot measure up to God. God doesn't call us to measure up to Him. He calls us to trust in His Son, who does measure up to Him because He is the living God. And so let us live out our righteousness, the righteousness that He has given us, the righteousness that we have been given through Jesus. So we get to the next section. It says that that He was blameless among the people of His time. Blameless among the people of His time. And again, let's process this. The world was very populated. There are lots of people there. He had lots of neighbors. People around Him. Yet He's the only one finding favor with God. The only one finding favor with God. So the man would have stuck out like a sore thumb. It would have been like he was going completely against the flow of his culture. And so this morning, again, I want to encourage you, if you feel like an outsider in your culture, that is exactly how Noah felt. He felt out of place. And that wasn't a bad thing, mind you. That was not bad that Noah felt out of place. So if you feel like you're outside of your culture, if you feel like you're going against the flow, you're actually feeling just like Noah. Yet Noah found favor with God. The people, I'm sure, looked at Noah like, you're odd, man, you're odd. I'm sure he had a lot of interesting conversations with his neighbor. In fact, we're going to get to a verse a little bit later. It talks about Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So Noah actually spoke out truth to his neighbors. Again, it must have looked very obvious that Noah was very different than his culture. So if you feel like you're out of place this morning, if you feel like, man, when I'm around my neighbors, when I'm around my coworkers, I feel odd. I don't fit. I want you to be encouraged this morning. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. It actually means that you're finding favor with God. You're finding favor with the God of the universe. And that's okay. It's okay to feel out of place. Verses in Scripture talk about how we are ambassadors for the kingdom. We're ambassadors for God. So there are going to be times when we're going to feel out of place, and that is okay. But we're called in the same way as we're righteous people. We're called to live blamelessly. And this is, again, this is our actions. This is how we're called to live. But I am so thankful. I'm so thankful for Noah as an example. And I'm so thankful for this verse that we actually have on this wall. We sang about this in the hymn. I don't know if you caught that. That's why I really like the hymn. We sang about this in the hymn. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. That's Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And so I'm thankful this morning. God has not just called us to live out our righteousness and then left us alone. But God has actually given us His word. God has given us truth. And so I ask you this morning, similarly to how Noah would have had to walk in relationship with God, walk faithfully with God, as Noah had to do this, I would encourage you this morning, are you finding time to get in God's Word? Are you finding time to be in the Word? And this is not a condemnation. This is what we need to do, because we need to rightly understand that we walk in many places, we walk in darkness. The Word is a light. So I think this, again, I think this verse is amazing for many, many reasons. But one is that this verse reveals that we walk in darkness. If we didn't walk in darkness, we wouldn't need light. So again, if you're saying, I don't feel like I'm walking in a lot of darkness, it's not a bad thing. It means you're living. It means you're still alive. You're breathing. Praise God. But he has given us his Word to be a light. And I'm also thankful that this verse illuminates some other things. The light doesn't just shine like the sun in some ways. It's not like the light gets turned on like it is today. Like I could walk right down through that aisle and I could get out pretty easily. No, it's like a dim light in that sense. It's a call to dependency on the Word. God wants us to trust him. He's going to help us to navigate through the peaks and valleys of life. The light's not going to always shine out the whole way to the end. Just like we can't just see straight through the maze. But God gives us the light that we can take one step, and then another step, and then another step, and another step on the journey of life. He shines out that light so it can be a lamp for our feet, and it's a light for our path to guide us along the way. But again, if you feel like, man, I feel like I'm walking in a lot of darkness, don't think that you're doing the wrong thing. This is a call to dependency on God. It's a call to dependency on his Word this morning. So I would encourage you. I would definitely encourage you this morning. If you're not finding time to be in God's Word, please think about the idea of what it would look like for you to start reading the Bible. We have people right now that are reading through the Scripture in a year. I think it's amazing. It's amazing as we process things. I'm got to be honest, I'm a little bit behind in some ways. I'm gonna make it. I'm going to get to the end. I believe it. I'm excited. But I'm reading Isaiah right now. And so I think I read from Isaiah this morning earlier, and that was part of my devotions this week. And so I've been processing some amazing truths from Isaiah. God has spoke so clearly through Isaiah about Jesus. It's amazing as I read Isaiah. This is an Old Testament guy. This is well before Jesus came. Yet Isaiah is so clearly talking about Jesus. And as I'm reading Isaiah, I'm getting excited. I'm getting so excited because I'm thinking about the life that I have in Jesus. And so I would encourage you, in the same way as I was encouraged getting in God's Word this week, would you find some time to be in his Word? And that doesn't have to look like 3 hours. It doesn't even have to look like 1 hour. If you're not in God's Word at all, if you're not reading God's Word regularly, that's okay. But man, just one chapter, 10 minutes, really 5 minutes. And we get on Facebook, right? If we have the time. Again, this isn't condemnation. This is because I want you to experience life. So just a little bit of time in God's Word will go a long way towards you receiving truth. And we need the truth. Because I know I've gone through moments in my life, I've gone through seasons in my life where I've experienced hardship, where I've experienced times where I'm walking through the valley. And when I'm in the valley, when I'm wandering through the valley, sometimes I find myself hearing a lot of lies in my mind. I can start hearing things that are like, Kent, you don't measure up. You're not good enough. Kent, you slipped up there. You shouldn't be a pastor. I start hearing lies like, Kent, you can never do this. Maybe you do the same thing. Like, I can never measure up, God. I just feel this spirit of condemnation on me. And yet, those are lies from the enemy, meant to destroy me, meant to bring me down, meant to take me off my, get my eyes off of Jesus and get my eyes on myself. But when I'm not in God's Word, those lies become easier and easier for me to think that they're true. I start hearing words and I start thinking, well, maybe that is what I am. Maybe I am not able to do this. Maybe I should just give up. Those lies, as they get, they become more and more normal, and they start to sound an awful lot like truth. But when I'm getting in the Word regularly, I can start to hear the truth, listen to the truth, and I begin to notice that the truth sounds an awful lot different than the lie. It's almost like a dialect difference. Because the lie is coming out of a spirit of condemnation. The truth is coming to encourage me, to implore me, to keep my eyes on Jesus, to move forward in truth. And so this morning, if you are finding yourself in the valley and you're hearing a lot of lies, please, be in God's Word this morning. Be in God's Word. I would love to talk with you about this. Wes talks about this often, that we would love to get a Bible in your hand. I love this app. It's called the YouVersion app. Maybe you have it. If you don't, I could even help you with that. But I love it because it's a free audio that I can listen to the Bible. And I'm an auditory learner, so I can just press play and sit there and flip through my Bible. And the guy has a British accent, which is also kind of cool. Feel smart when I listen. But I would encourage you this morning, if you're finding yourself listening and you feel like you're hearing lies, would you be in God's Word? Because we're not called to live in condemnation. So thankful for Romans 8. We're not called to live in condemnation. We're called to live in the hope of Jesus. And so, again, this is another way that we can find, we can learn from Noah, a man who found favor in God. And then lastly, he walked faithfully with God. Noah walked faithfully with God. I think that's amazing, too, because, again, when I think of the Old Testament, I think my mind's been trained to think about Jesus in the New Testament, and then the relationship that I have with Jesus now in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, Noah, this is a man in the Old Testament, again, for Jesus, walked faithfully with God. He was in relationship with God. And I got to think that was so important for Noah, because this is a man, again, he sticks out like a sore thumb. His neighbors think he's weird, more than likely. They think he's odd. He's not living like they are. It's got to make his life harder, right? When I was in high school, and middle school and high school, I remember the days when I would watch my students, peers cheat. And I'd be like, man, wish it'd be so much easier if I just fill out that, find the A, B, C, and be done. But I knew that wasn't the right thing to do. I knew that wasn't my... I wasn't living out my walk with Jesus. But there were times when it's like, I got to live out that in relationship with Jesus. I got to say no, because I know that God has called me to something better. And even if I get a B or a C, it's going to be okay. And so there's a need that we have for ourselves, in our own cultural context, for us to walk in dependency with God, just like Noah did. To be dependent on God and to walk in faithfulness. And so I was reminded of a verse, here we go, Galatians 5:16. This verse, this is in the New Testament, says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Walk by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit we've been given through relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Walk in that Spirit. Walk in relationship. And then what? You won't gratify the desires of your flesh. You won't be led into sin. You'll be able to say, okay, I could go this way, but I'm going to go this way. Because I this way looks really easy, this way looks a lot harder, but this way I can do, because this way I'm walking with the God of the universe. This way is shallow, this way involves a depth of relationship. This way, again, just involves me. This way involves me depending on my God. And man, when we get to the other side and we've depended on God, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? When we get to the other side and we're like, wow, I could have took the easy way out, but I would not have seen the ways that God worked in and through me in that time. So let's walk by the Spirit so we won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Let's walk in relationship with God, just like Noah had to do. And this reminds me, in some ways, it's going to sound silly, This reminds me of when I was in high school. I was a track runner. And so my senior year of track. So for those of you that like tuned out for a while, you're like, okay, now he's talking about something else. Sorry, this is a little scattered. So my senior year of track, I was running. I used to run the half mile, the mile, and the 2 mile, and the 4x8. So I'd run, again, that was a half mile, then I'd hand off the baton. And so I loved track. Loved running because that was like competitive, and I could like try to win. I loved that. I didn't have to kick a ball. I just knew when I got to the line, it was me against this guy, the one who gutted it out the most. Whoever wins, they deserve to win. And so I loved that. But my senior year, my coach, he knew that myself and some of my teammates, we weren't living out our potential. We weren't getting the results that we could get. And so he literally said to us, he said, guys, you can run faster. You can run fast. You should be running faster than you are. Right? He basically was imploring we should be 20 seconds faster at least than what we were running. And this is in the mile. And I think, man, I was running, at that point I was running just below 5 minute miles. And so I'm like, wow, you think I can run faster than this? No one's ever really told me that before. But it was amazing. So that year in track, my times dropped. And the reason my times dropped was because I trusted my coach knew that I could actually run faster. And he was right. The only reason I was running faster was because in my head, I instead of slowing down, I kept going. And so my half-mile time dropped dramatically. I had a blast with my teammates. It was a lot of fun, really. But the success I gained was simply because in my heart, I was said, no, I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to slow down. Even though I feel a little bit of pain, my coach says I can do this. I'm not going to die. Literally, that's what, like, you're not going to die. I can't just keep going. But in our Christian walk, I think we can do the same thing. We settle. We settle for what looks okay. Like, I was running below 5 minute miles. That's not bad. Not bad in and of itself. But it wasn't my best. And as Christians, we can do the same things. We can go, well, I'm kind of dependent on God. I know he's calling me to depend on him more. I know he's calling me to depend on him as I'm living in relationship with my neighbors, as I'm called to be on mission with Jesus. But that's kind of radical. It's kind of radical to talk to my neighbors about Jesus. It's kind of radical to live out my faith amongst my coworkers, because I do stick out like a sore thumb, kind of like Noah did. So we can settle. But God is not calling us to settle this morning. In the same way, God is calling us to live in dependency on him, to walk in relationship with him constantly, because he has our best in mind. He has your best in mind this morning. So we've learned a ton from Noah this morning. We've learned about the reality that yeah, we do walk in darkness, and that's okay. It's okay to walk in darkness. It means we're alive. It means we're breathing. Doesn't mean God's forgotten us. It means we're alive. And just in the same way God took Noah from that adversity all the way through a flood, we get to verse 1 of chapter 8. I love this. I just love this. Oh, this says the waters flooded the earth for 150 days. Waters pouring down. And I got to think there was a time when Noah was like, "Is this just going to keep happening? Oh, when's it going to stop?" Verse 1, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. So can I remind you this morning, in the same way God did not forget Noah, God never forgets you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you this morning. So let's be reminded, if we're walking in darkness, again, it's not a bad thing. He will remember us. If nothing less, he will take us home with him one day if we put our trust in Jesus. We have hope. We always have hope if we put our trust in Jesus. And we're called to walk blamelessly, but we're called to walk blamelessly because of the righteousness that he has given us. And the only way we're going to make it, the only way you and I are going to make it, Grace Church, is if we walk in faithfulness with our God. It's all about our relationship, the living relationship that we have through Jesus. Three things this morning. So I encourage you this morning, I just want to leave these quick questions with you. How is God calling you to live? If you're going to live out your righteousness, How is God calling you to live? If you're taking notes, I would encourage you, write that down. How is God calling you to live? And am I making wise choices? Am I personally, me, making wise choices? Because we can put ourselves in positions to fail. We ourselves can put ourselves in positions that we can settle. You and I, we can settle very easily. But God's not calling us to settle. So are we making wise choices to depend on Jesus? Now I would encourage you, this last question. Where is my dependence? Is my dependence on me? Again, is the easy way? Is my dependence on me? I'm gonna get from point A to point B, and I can see it. Or is my dependency on God? Sometimes I don't know how I'm going to get from point A to point B. Just like Noah probably didn't know what was going to happen when he landed, when he got in the ark, when he got out of the ark. But God calls us to live in dependence on Him. If we're going to do this, Grace Church, we need to be reminded that we need to be dependent on our risen Savior. And so I ran out of time because I got excited. I apologize, but I did tell you I was going to show you this verse, these verses. So 2 Peter 2, 5 and 9, it says, if we did not spare the ancient world, or if He, God, did not spare the ancient world when He brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. Verse 9, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials, and to hold the unrighteous for the punishment on the day of judgment. God knows how to get you through it. He has a plan. He has not forgotten you, Grace. He's not forgotten us. He's going to get us from point A to point B. He's taking us on mission with Him. I'm so excited about the Living Nativity. Thank you, ladies, for leading us in this. Thank you for all who are going to volunteer. Let's be on mission with Jesus and see what He has in store for us. We're not taking the easy way out. Walk in independence. We're going to have great stories. We already have great stories of how we've seen God at work. Let me pray for you. Let's pray for us as we seek to be on His mission. And God, I thank You. I'm thankful for the testimony we have of Noah. Lord, You've given us a story that I believe many of us need to hear. A story of a man who lived thousands of years ago, and yet his life in some ways is so similar to ours. A man who probably felt very alone at times, as I know there are times when I can feel alone. A man who needed to be dependent on You. A man who lived out His righteousness, the righteousness You've given him. God, a man who stuck out like a sore thumb, but wasn't afraid to preach a truth, to preach life, to seek out his generation. God, I'm thankful for a man who did depend on You, knowing that we all are children in that sense of Noah. He is our great, 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 great grandfather. A lot of greats. But we're thankful for Him. And God, we look forward to seeing the ways that You're going to walk and work through us, God. Take us on mission with You, we ask. We're not taking the easy way out, God. We're walking in dependency on You in the Hudson Valley. Thank You, God, for taking us on this journey. In Jesus' name, amen.